And good morning. You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition on this Thursday morning. It's 8:49. And yes, there is hope. The weekend is coming. We know that because Jared Bowen is here this morning. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob. Happy Valentine's Day.
Same to you and all the others out there who may have forgotten it's Valentine's Day, but don't worry, you still have time to take care of that. But one of the things you might want to do is go see a play. And of course, there's a great American classic being staged at the American Repertory Theater's Loeb Drama Center. And it's Tennessee Williams' The Glass Menagerie.
That's right. I mean, nothing says love on Valentine's Day like Tennessee Williams and family havoc and despair. but if you want to take your loved one to a really, really fantastic show, you should take them to The Glass Menagerie. It just opened last week, and this is a fantastic production. And it really starts with John Tiffany, who's the director here, and he won the Tony for Best Director of a Musical this year for Once, which he also workshopped at the ART. He met Cherry Jones, an iconic American actress, probably best known on television anyway for playing the president on 24, herself a two-time Tony winner, great, great actress in the American theater. And he had a breakfast with her a couple of years ago and started talking about her playing Amanda Wingfield, because Cherry Jones is this, you know, formidable Southern woman. And she really resisted. She found the play very depressing. But after a reading, he finally prevailed, and she took on the role. And now we have Glass Menagerie, also starring Zachary Quinto, at the ART. And, of course, it's the story of this single mother in St. Louis and about the 1930s in this small apartment, and she's just trying to do what she can to provide for her family after the Depression. She's got this emotionally crippled daughter. She has a son who's very self-indulgent. Rather than be a provider for the family, he really wants to be a poet. So this is all about the family dynamic, and to help her family, she just wants, the mother, Amanda Wingfield, wants to get a gentleman caller, a parade of gentleman callers for her daughter, so that she can basically give her daughter the life that she didn't have. So we see this unfold over two acts, and it's very, very powerful. I had the opportunity to speak with Cherry Jones, who, as I mentioned, is a Southerner. She's from Paris, Tennessee, and she said that part of her character does come from these women she knew as a child, who were basically the age of Amanda Wingfield now.
But once you get into the Cotton Belt, it's a whole other dialect, and it's a sound that to me is like locusts and crickets and peepers and soft summer nights, and there's a melody to it and a gentleness. And these were enlightened women in many ways, the women I grew up with. I'm not saying that Amanda is that way, but she is of that generation. So I do carry that in me, and I respect it, and I hold it dear.
It's fascinating that she was really resisting playing this role. But, you know, it, like you say, if somebody wants to see a great actress in action, it's Cherry Jones.
Yeah, and what changed for her is that for many years, for decades, this character has been played typically as a monster. You know, she's just this overbearing woman who's looking out for herself and to the expense of her children. But here, Cherry Jones, as I just described her, you know, my characterization of Amanda Wingfield has really come from Cherry Jones, who looked at it and said, no, she's not a monster. This is a woman who suffered so much, but for to care for her children, to provide for them, to send them off into the world, and as I said, give them a better existence. And that's something that she worked on with John Tiffany, the director. And as I mentioned, Zachary Quinto also stars here. He plays the elder son, Tom. Many people know him, for he just wrapped a stint on American Horror Story. We will see him very soon as Spock in the upcoming Star Trek movie. But I also spoke to him. And of course, for anybody who doesn't know, this is Tennessee Williams' first major work. And it's also very autobiographical in terms of Tennessee Williams grew up in a similar house and also wanted to break out and do his own thing. And Zachary Quinto availed himself of Tennessee Williams' biography for this part.
I love knowing how he struggled and how these words came out of real struggle for him. That for me is something that means more, you know, and that we are conduits to that struggle and conduits to something that was bigger than him. Because, you know, people that talented, that energy doesn't just leave the earth when they do, I believe. It has to go somewhere.
Huh. Well, this is the ART's second major revival in a row after Pippin. So are there significant changes here, too?
What I think is most interesting is this is a memory play. At the very outset, Tom addresses the audience as Tennessee Williams wrote it and said, these are my recollections, of course, in this great Southern language that Cherry Jones was just talking about in dialect, and it's very, very beautiful. And what John Tiffany has done here with his creative team and his designers is they create pockets on the stage, and it's all enveloped in blackness. So you have this really vibrant dining room scene. You have this really vibrant living room setting and fire escape setting, but they're all sort of little pockets, so you really feel like you're diving into the recesses of Tom's memory. Even the way the play begins, the way Laura appears, I won't give it away, even though it happens at the very beginning of the play, but it's one of the most genius moments I've ever experienced in the theater. It was enough to make everybody at opening night gasp. So it's a very, very clever and evocative way of getting a sense of this man reliving this one period of his life.
That's a fascinating approach, rather than having this standard set, which is the room and the house and everything, but to actually create these like memory pockets. Fascinating. Okay, so now we move from the sublime to the sublimely ridiculous. The production of Mildred Fierce by the Gold Dust Orphans.
Yes, I trekked out. Bob, I know you walked to work in the blizzard on Saturday. I have to confess, I got in my car to drive to the theater on Saturday night to go see the Gold Dust Orphans doing Mildred Fierce, which, of course, is based on Mildred Pierce. You know, it's sort of a tie here. Mildred Fierce is about a mother who wants to do what she can for her family. She's in a strange marriage, and so she sort of wants to maintain her upper crust society and be able to give her children everything that they need, or at least her elder daughter, because in this version, she can't even remember her younger daughter's name. Mildred Fierce wants to remain the gray poupon of mustard, as she says. She doesn't want to be the French's yellow. So this is a very clever production by the Gold Dust Orphans. It's very, very funny. And so we see Mildred Fierce, you know, go through everything from working at the Greasy Spoon to owning her own restaurant franchise just so that she can provide for her family. But Mildred Fierce here is played by Varley Jean Merman, who's very well known. She's a drag queen or gender illusionist. And I always say, you know, as sometimes raunchy and bawdy and outrageous as the Gold Dust Orphans can be, there's always a wonderful thread in the production. And here it's Varley Jean Merman who actually brings a terrific nuance and depth to this character. So
Varley Jean's very talented.
She is very, very, very talented. And so, yeah, as outrageous as it is, she manages a very stunning dramatic turn.
Okay, so that's Mildred Fierce by the Gold Dust Orphans playing at the Machine. And finally, we're kind of updating people on the Danforth Museum of Art. Now, explain what's happening there.
Yeah, we just talked about them for their fantastic John Wilson retrospective that's on view now. The museum is housed in a very, very old high school building, and it's really not the best environment for the artwork. And they have just announced an agreement with the town. It just needs to be passed by a town vote in May, but they have no reason to believe it won't go forward, that they are purchasing a new building. And by about 2014, they expect to move into this new building. It's about a mile away. It's in a historic building on the town green. It's near Framingham State University. And this is going to afford them the opportunity to really give climate control, sprinkler systems, everything that this artwork should be deserving. So this museum, which is already on an upswing in terms of attendance, in terms of donations and whatnot, now is going to have a fantastic new facility in this agreement with the town. It's going to be about $1 million. They're going to offer discounts on memberships to Framingham residents and continue with the classes that they offer. So it's a really good partnership with the town.
That's great news. Now, many people may know, but may not know, that you now host a weekly television program, 8:30 Friday nights on WGBH2 called Open Studio. So what's on tomorrow night?
I love this show because it's so eclectic, and we have a banjo player turned sculptor, Tony Furtado. You know, so it's sort of all of, you know, as our catchphrase is, all about the art of making art. And here is a man who is channeling his passions in two very different ways. We have a very interesting piece on a renowned Russian painter, Oleg Vasilyev, who was a very big problem for the Soviets and sort of turned it around when he moved to America. And there's lots more that you'll see on our show.
All right. That's tomorrow night, Friday nights at 8:30. Open Studio with Jared Bowen, who's here every Thursday morning on WGBH's Morning Edition. See you next week.
Thanks, Bob.
If it's happening here, we'll explore it on Boston Public Radio. Politics, culture, sports, and the innovation economy. We hope you'll join the conversation today from noon to 2 on 89.7 WGBH.
WGBH programs exist because of you. And Direct Tire and Auto Service, winterizing cars since 1974 in Watertown, Norwood, Peabody, and Natick. Not just service, customer service. More information available at directtire.com. And so